Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, Randy. How's it going?
Yo. You know what? That's the new intro, where it just introduces you. So I've been waiting for that. Yeah.
That's and you're over there, so I'm.
Yep, I'm still hanging out in Chico Town.
Good. I want to know. Have you been doing your walking and running and stuff, getting ready for your trip?
I have. Yeah, every morning, literally every morning, and sometimes in the evenings, and It's like I say, I'm kind of a regular on the trail now. All the people that are out there every morning, you know, and kind of a brotherhood or sisterhood of exercisers.
Good.
So, yeah, feels good.
And you taking your puppy along sometimes?
You know what? She's still recovering from the broken toe. She's going to be down for another month or so.
She doesn't want to go run with it still? I'm surprised.
She does.
A lot of times
she'll just
keep going.
Oh, she
Why
wants
don't you let
to,
her just wrap it up?
Yeah, it's just bad for her. They want her off of it, is what
really?
The vet said.
Oh, I'm surprised, because my guy, I know, I was telling you, his champion before broke up. Well, he tore the ligaments, and he kept going. But,
She would go. She wakes up every morning, knows, when she sees me putting on my shoes, she knows where I'm going. And she's like, waits for me, you know.
Oh, if you could keep the bandage on somehow, if the bandage would stay. If it doesn't, you know, wrapped. Well, it'll be there before you know it.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to continue the exercising, and yeah, that cruise is coming up. We've got it is the 3rd, I believe, of 3rd of August. So yeah, 3rd through the 10th.
Oh,
so.
Wow. How long are you going for?
For 7 days. It's an Alaskan cruise. I think we're flying out of Seattle. We're flying out of I think Sacramento to Seattle or something. I'm not quite sure where we get on board, but and then we need our passport, I guess, because part of it is we're going to be in Canada. So
good.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. I can't say I've never been to Alaska, because my dad was stationed there and I was conceived in Anchorage, Alaska.
Really? That is too great.
So
that's awesome.
Technically, I've been to Alaska, but don't remember it, having been just conceived.
I love it.
You know, anyway, that's what's going on the Chico side. 100 plus degrees still around here. So summers are always pretty brutal. We have the pool, so that works. That works. You know, all the.
Good deal.
I think it's funny. You'll love this as a realtor, because you know. Obviously, resale value in hot areas, meaning weather-wise, pools add to the resale value, right? So you kind of just, you know, kind of put up with – I did the math. So we usually use the pool 2 to maybe 2.5 or 3 months a year.
Right.
And the rest of the time, we're cleaning it and skimming it sweeping it. Just for those 2 to 2.5 months a year. So anyway, but it's worth it. Those 2 or 2.5 months are really awesome when it's hot and you can just jump in and enjoy.
Yeah, just nice to get out there and get your exercise, and definitely fun to do. Gosh, awesome. Hey, well, this show, today we're going to actually talking about planning for retirement communities. If you've thought about, you know, you're getting to the age, it doesn't mean you have to already be ready to, in say, in your late 60s, early 70s, that you have to be ready to retire, or you're getting to the age where you need a little bit of assistance to start thinking about it. It's really, really good to think about it way ahead of time. So the first half is going to be tidbits and information for you if you're planning for a retirement, options that are available in today's market, meaning real estate options, you know, where to move, what to go, what type of community to get into. And then on the second half, Randy, turn over to you.
Yeah, yeah. Patrick Mathers is going to be joining us, and I just kind of recently reconnected with Patrick on Facebook, and he is he's getting ready, believe it or not, to head over to Scotland and work with the poor in Scotland. And
ooh.
So, yeah, just a guy who's gonna, you know, go do it, man. And so I'm, you know, this second half of the show is always about inspiration, motivation, and being the change in the world. And this is somebody who's definitely doing that.
Oh, I love it. Is he actually moving there, or is missionary work for temporarily, or is he actually going to go?
Yeah, I'm thinking, let's see. Let's see. It says, I'm on his blog right now, and it says, now our family is spending 2014 preparing for our move to Scotland by selling all our possessions and fundraising. We hope to make the move in January of 2015. Wow.
That is awesome.
Really
cool.
Monica and I, you know, I think about that probably 2-3 times a week. You know, I think about just you know, just going somewhere to give my life away, you know, like that, because it's, you know, you get caught up in, you get caught up in all of the hassles and the challenges of life, and, you know, financial and otherwise.
You paid your dues, and your children are grown, so you really could if you really. It's not the easiest thing to do, but you could do it. And,
well, money is still always
life.
A factor. You've always got to, you know, even as a missionary, you've got to raise your support.
Yeah.
But again, if God's in it, I've really. Somebody once said, you know, if it's God's will, it's God's bill, and I love that. It's like,
I love,
you know,
that.
What, if He's guiding, He provides, and all that, all those sentences that rhyme, but I believe there's truth in that, and so, yeah, I mean, it would, you know, I mean, you just, again, you've got to ask, you know, ask God where he would want you, and, you know, some people argue that, you know, it doesn't really matter, that God doesn't care, you know, where you live, you can just bloom where you're planted, yada, yada, and that's an interesting conversation, because, you know, good people can disagree on that, but...
You know, but interesting enough, though, we don't have to be able to be all or none, right? It's possible to, say, go on a week or two-week missionary trip, and even though fundraising has to be put together, whatever, to just start, you know, in small increments and see how you like it, or see how it feels, if it's like, wow, this is my calling, you know? So I think a lot of things we end up not doing in life because we say, oh, it's all or none, you know, I've got to, and that's the beauty of it is God does direct us, doesn't he? And I think when it keeps coming up in our spirit and soul that we have to do this, we have to do it, there's a reason for it. It's just amazing.
Yeah, that's what Patrick Mathers on this Scotland mission trip, he actually just came across a blog, some pastor's blog, about ministry in Scotland among the poor, and then basically felt led to apply to go on what they call a vision trip, where you just go and check it out and see what they're doing. And he went. And while he was there, he just liked God saying, this is it, man. This is your place. And so they're selling everything and getting ready to head over in January. So.
Oh, sounds like so much fun. So
Scotland.
Scotland. I have my dual citizenship, you know, and sometimes I think, wow, what am I doing? Not using it the way it should be used, huh? So it's like, oh. So, hey, this today, talking about the retirement communities, you know how being engaged makes us happier. We have goals. We've got serving. It's such a thing. I mean, it's so proven that we're not just supposed to just exist and just be there. And lots of times people get way, way older, and of course people tend to need medical treatment when they get older because of either, you know, just natural progression of age, right? And so you need communities where there's things that where people, there's nurses, doctors, healthcare, ongoing medicine, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. But a lot of times people, I think, are thinking, oh, you've got to go into the nursing home facility or you need to go to the assisted living facility. And we all want to put it off, put it way off, you know. And I saw when I broke my leg and ankle and I had to go to a rehab, I was, oh, my God, I can't be in here. This was like I couldn't take it. It was horrible for me. And having that happen at only 52, I was like, no, this just happened. Well, actually 51 because it happened in November, end of November and beginning of December last year. It was like, oh, my gosh, I got to see what would happen to me 30, 40 years from now, God willing, right? Mm. And it was scary, and it was a wake-up call because we don't think of things like that when we're 51, 52 typically, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, ooh, wait a minute. I'm going to play this out a little bit better because planning is so important. Insurances are important, you know, just like disability insurance. I took it out in my 20s, and when I had serious problems with my ulnar nerve starting in 2007, if it wasn't for some insurance to take me through some of the hard times, what would I have done, right? You know, so it's kind of important to plan. It's really important instead of putting it off, going, nah, I'm going to live with my kids. No, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Because this way you're covered. But interestingly enough, well, of course, the builders and planners are thinking ahead as well. There's many, many communities now around the country that actually are set up just for this situation so that you still can be engaged. You know, 90-year-old, there's people that are 90 and 100 still driving, Randy. I mean, it's a fact. You know, some people go, oh, my gosh, I'm afraid if they are. Well, sometimes we have to be afraid if someone young's driving that's no good, you know, good, or if they're, you know, other things going on. But it really is, it reminds me of a story with Zachary. I had two dogs that passed away over the years, you know, last some years. And Zachary was really, really old, 5 years older than Champ, the other dog. And we, Kenny and a couple of neighbors were going to go hiking in Hawaii, and this was around 2003. And we're like, oh, Zach has to stay home. And you could see he was pouting and because he couldn't go on long walks. And Champ was going, and I said, you know what, I'm taking that Jeep, I'm taking the other vehicle, I'm taking him with us anyhow. And if he, you know, can't make it, I'm going to just bring him right back, right? Because I couldn't stand the look in his eye. He knew what was going on, and we were leaving. I couldn't stand it. I was like, no, it's not, you know, it's, and I'm gonna, I kid you not, I took him. As soon as that dog got in the woods, and because he was used to the woods in the mainland, right, living, growing up in the woods, as soon as he got in the woods, because we lived near the beach in Hawaii, by the falls, we were going to Manawili Falls, he perked up, his energy went up, he made the entire hike there and back. It was like a new dog. And I'm sure he was tired later. But it was the point that, you know, when we get excited, when we get energized, we do live longer. We are happier. We're not just supposed to be like, oh, this is it. I'm sitting here in this assisted living. This is it forever, right? These communities are built with this in mind, and it's really, you know, good for anybody that's listening or listening later to start checking into it. Don't put it off. There's also different insurances. There's now they even have 50 plus, age 50. It used to be 55 and older. They have 50-plus communities. Really good to think about it because there's places where you can buy into and have your own, say, small villa or have an apartment. And there's a lot of things to check into. There's a lot of questions you want to ask, things you want to find out. Don't assume anything because some centers, some places, when you go in and you have your own unit and certain amounts of monies are put up, of course you have to talk to your financial planner because you really want to plan how everything's going to work out when you get older because if you have too many assets, they're going to take all of your assets too. So there's just a lot of things to plan ahead and talk with the planner. Some of these communities actually, when you pass, if you live there till you pass, the unit gets sold and that money goes to your estate. Some communities work out where, you know, these assisted living communities type of community centers where they get the money. So there's just many different plans and many different ways to work this. In addition, many, many communities are sprouting up around the country where you clearly own your house, own your villa, own your whatever, but you have amenities. You have where you can still go and eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You can get medical treatment. So it's pretty cool when you think about it, that golf clubs, golf courses, et cetera, pool, I mean, all these things that, you know, just because you're getting older doesn't mean you can't enjoy it. And many people are starting to buy in their 50s and 60s and plan it that way. And it's kind of a neat idea because it really is, you don't want to end up one day going, I can't do it. And if you're saying, well, I don't have the money for this, I don't have the money for that, go check it out first. Go check into it. You may find that the money is there and there's different ways to get into these systems rather than just calling it a day. And there's something about the independence and making plans rather than relying on your family to take care of it later because they may surprise you. You know, the family may not be there. Anything can happen. I mean, you don't know. You know, I know I saw firsthand with breaking my leg, my son and his girlfriend, well, they thought it was the best thing to do to go to a rehab center. Oh, my gosh, it was terrible. It was not good for me. And I was real healthy. It was breaking a leg and ankle. But sometimes people think they're making the best decisions for you. For me, it was like a couple-day really nightmare dream, and I'm going, whoa, okay. I got to fast forward. You know, not all of us get to fast forward and kind of see the future now. And so I just think it's really interesting to see the beautiful, and then, of course, you have these communities in other countries as well. But we're just talking about mainly the U.S. And so it's really good. You know, talking about just passing things forward and keeping it positive, you know, it's just kind of, it's important. It's really important in planning. And so we want to do that. And there's some of the things you want to look at you want to make sure, find out if the communities, depending on what you're going to, there's just such a range on what you can get involved in. If it's near colleges or shows or activities, because it's proven, as I said before, that if you're engaged, you are happier, much happier. You want to keep active. You want to be able to walk and do things. And there could be people listening that can't walk, and well, then you get the scooters, right? So, I mean, there's just, there's a gamut of things you can do rather than saying, no, I can't. You want to find out, are your grandchildren allowed to visit? How long? Some of these communities have restrictions on age restrictions, and you can have guests in or grandchildren, but maybe only so many weeks a year, so many days, et cetera. So, you know, as far as staying there with you, you want to find out what's included and what's not included. What is extra? You may have a community that has the pool and the activities, but then if you want to go take a yoga class, that's extra. Since you typically, in years to come, if you're really retired and wanting to be, you know, you're going to be living on a fixed income, so you really need to have a strict budget, and you need to know what's included and what's not included. So it's lots and lots of questions to ask. First and foremost, right now, I would talk to a financial planner and also, you know, which can put you in touch with insurances and different people. They have long-term care insurance. You want to find out what's covered and what's not. There used to be, I'd heard in the last few years, the long-term health insurance was really going great, and then they had a lot of problems where companies went out of business, et cetera, et cetera. So many laws in the United States were changed to protect that situation. So I don't think it has the same stigma that it did 5 years ago. And it's just pretty neat. You know, you want to find out if they drive you to the doctor's appointments, if the community has if they have facilities, because some of the communities are way out, secluded in places, and that may not be the best community for you. You know, so it's pretty cool and worth checking into now, because I mean, like, look at, both of us are in our 50s, right? And I bet you guys don't look at, no, I bet you and Monica probably don't even think about the retirement communities, do you? I mean, does it really ever cross your mind?
I don't even think about that, although I'm closer to 60 than 50 right now, so
but you see how,
but I like
you really
the
didn't
idea.
think You don't think about it. Randy, I would have never thought about it had I not broken my, because I've always been active, run, walk, everything, you name it, right? Tennis.
Yeah.
If I didn't break my leg and ankle and got stuck going over from the hospital to the rehab, I mean, I broke out of the rehab. You know, I'm not staying here. This is, I can't do this, right? Between the noise and the not cleanliness, it's just not for me. But I was being told by my son, oh, no, that's where you should be. Oh, my gosh, no. It was almost like I was so glad that I'm of sound mind and totally, you know, could make my own decisions, because I thought right then, oh, wow, if I wasn't and couldn't make my own decisions, they would have had me stay there for a week or two. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
And it's not a good feeling, because we still need to be in control, have our own rights, da-da-da-da-da-da. So I got to, I just kind of, and, you know, I mean, I always visualize and I always look at the big picture. I'm thinking like, oh, man, you know. And then checking into it all, there's quite, and being in the real estate industry, I've helped, well, over the years, it used to be more than now, since things are a lot different with, can you hear me? I think I hit the mute button by accident and I turned it off.
Now I can hear you.
Okay, I hope it wasn't very long anyhow. But basically, I remember over the years had many situations where a spouse passed away, and one woman in particular in Maryland had to move to a seller house, and she was so depressed to sell her house and then go to this community. But she found a great community in Catonsville, Maryland, that she ended up loving and later was glad she made the transition. But here she was doing it in later years. Dealt with many people over the years. We have couples go into the communities, and then one spouse passes when they're in the community. So that has to be taken care of, too. They do have communities where if one needs medical care and the other doesn't, you could still have an apartment. But I think so many of us picture old age homes, assisted living homes, you know, that, and they're beautiful assisted living homes too. So I don't take offense if anybody has one on the call or uses them or whatever. There's beautiful ones. But you can also, there's actually fully engaged communities where you can own your own unit, own your own place, and rent or whatever, you know. So it's worth checking into. And, so I wanted to put that out there, because as we do our show short every week, basically, when we go through all this, that, you know, just like you said, you hadn't really been thinking about it. A lot of people haven't thought about it. And it's the time to think about things. And the plan is now. So you can start finding out information and have a pretty good, you know, so you're comfortable later when you're doing it, and not put in a situation where you're just scraping with pennies and miserable and stuck somewhere, because that's all they could do, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's, sadly, that's, and I forgot the statistic, but a friend of mine who's a financial planner talks about how the average person begins planning at the age of, you know, retirement planning. I forgot what the age is, but it's maybe early 60s or something, or late 50s. I mean, because we're so busy, getting her done, living, paying the bills, and then all of a sudden you look up, and for me, it changed. I got the epiphany, you know, this last birthday when I turned 57. I went, okay, I can no longer say I'm mid-50s. I'm now, I've turned the corner to 60 in, you know, 2.5 years. Wow. Just for me, I went, okay. Because I always, you know, I mean, you can say 50 is the new 60 or 60 is the new, you know, you can say all these things. But 60, you know, I mean, that's getting up there. So you're like, okay. You know, and yeah, you're right. I mean, you start thinking, you know, and I honestly have this year thought more about retirement than I ever have before, but that doesn't mean I spend a lot of time thinking about it.
But this is even situations where you don't, like say right now you and Monica said, hey, we want to go live in another part of the country or another, maybe even another country, whatever, and we want to buy a home and we want to live there, right? So for a while, we want to check it out and see what we think. It's worth it. To when you're doing that, check out these retirement communities that, you know, they have an age restriction maybe of 50, 55. Most of them are 55. I hear some are 50. But that you could actually, I'm just saying, and it's covering for 20 years or 30 years from now as well. You know, it's just something, it's kind of interesting to look at, you know. And then it's important to see the people that the communities. There's just so many things to find out about the communities too. There's actually certified retirement communities. There's college town retirement communities. Some people like that if they're really intellectual and like to get into, you know, other things that are going to be happening so you're not way out. It's just interesting. It's just something else to think about. So if you there's adult communities, okay, when we have, and that's, of course, now they say adult instead of senior a lot of times, and I take offense to that over 50 plan, oh, we're senior. I'm not, no, bite your tongue. Oh, you can't, you know, because we really are as old as we feel, but you're right. Things do change. I mean, after 50, it definitely was different than after 40, and, you know, it's so the reality sets in that, yeah, but I think it's amazing because what we don't know, we don't know, and a lot of us will assume that, you know, there's some pretty cool setups out there, so it just doesn't hurt to take a chance and look at it. And
now,
and
what was I going to ask? Do some of them take insurance?
Yeah, they do. I mean, that's the thing. That's why it's worth checking into, because even some of the community will take insurance, that long-term health care. You know, some people end up into the communities that are on, say, medical assist. They don't have any money at all, and then there's certain things that get worked out. They probably wouldn't be purchasing the unit. They would be, you know, going in under another program. So there's just a lot of things to look at. Yeah, so it's but of course with the internet and Googling, and most people on listen are going to have either relatives or have a computer and be able to get on. And again, financial advisor is a great person to talk to plan and get that done. I am a believer in disability insurance. I'm a believer in insurances. I'm a believer in that long-term health care because they have cleaned it up a lot. There's ways to do that where you can get riders. Instead of paying so much money, you can pay less and then get inflation riders. A really good financial planner may suggest that you take a little bit of term insurance to cover. There's so many ways to do things that are not going to be as expensive as you may think, and it's definitely worth it to check it out. So we are already almost finished going to our second half. I wanted to ask you, because I meant to when we first get on the call, did you see the story about the elephant in India that was released after 50 years? It's just because I hardly ever read the news, look at it, but I look at the internet news, and I just was noticing it this morning. 50 years in captivity, the person who had him should go to jail. I mean, absolutely, no questions asked. In chains, he was, I guess, taken from his mother when he was a little baby. Kept in change for 50 years. The man was pulling his hair off his legs to sell his, like, good luck charms. He was beaten. It was horrible. Well, this big organization that goes in and takes, they went in and they got him, and they took him to a refuge where he's going to live the rest of his life in freedom, not freedom out to roam forever, but in a nice, like, safari type of situation, you know, where he'll be living. And they said when they got him and they pulled the chains off and everything, you can Google it. It's the freed elephant, I guess, in India. He had tears in his eyes. He was so emotional. And they say it's proven that elephants are emotional, like we're emotional. I mean, you know, to some degree, however. I just thought that was a great story. And this organization, I didn't write down the name. Oh, gosh. You can Google. There's a lot of organizations. This is a fantastic organization, so even in helping people that way, too. So I was just going to mention it in the beginning.
I did not see that.
Yeah, and then there was another thing. One of the soccer teams, was it Argentina or Venezuela? I'm not sure. Their team lost, and they still got up and cheered everywhere, and it's been blitzed on the news because – I have to see which area. You know, I mean,
Brazil lost yesterday.
It was Brazil. Okay, yeah. So it was Brazil.
That's a big deal because Brazil hosted the World Cup, and you know they've been looking forward to this for many, many years, and they spent $11 billion, you know, to renovate Brazil basically. And it was really a big source of. What's the word I want, you know, disagreement, you know, because, you know, they're a poor country and there are kids starving and they spent $11 billion to build all of this
stuff.
And then, you know, and then they're the host country, and then yesterday they just got humiliated by Germany 7-1, you know. And
that's the story.
But that's the whole we could get Patrick in on that on the next segment conversation about what's right.
Yeah,
and wrong.
No, it really is, but I think it was great that they were cheering on the other Germany rather than to be, you know, looking defeated. You know what I mean? Being
yeah.
I think that it's just a
yeah.
big thing to show us
saying.
In human nature. Yeah, to really, yeah, because it does. It's just something. If you know, I thought it was pretty awesome.
Sports can really show character. You know, they can really. You know, I as I get older, I'm less of a sports fan for a variety of
right.
reasons. You know, I see more of the negatives, I guess, in sports. But there are a lot of positives in sports, and I think that's one you can really. You know, there's a lot of teaching that goes along in sports. There's a lot of, you know, on the character side of stuff. But it is 12:30 on the West Coast, which means let me think. I can do the math. 9:30 in Hawaii,
yep.
right? So
yeah,
there we go.
Yep.
So it's still in the morning over there. On the other side, as is our custom, of course, we aim to inspire and mobilize you to be the change that you want to see in the world. And Patrick Mathers is going to be joining us, and he is he's a local guy here in Chico, a pastor of a church, and I love the name of the church, Sovereign Joy Christian Fellowship. So right in the name of the church, man, is the word joy, which I like that a lot. I already like that. But I've been checking out his blogs, and he's getting ready to basically pack up and take the family and move to Scotland and begin to serve the poor in Scotland. And I know you and I have talked to many people. We've had several missionaries on here over the last couple of years, and people who have just decided that that's what they're going to do, that's what God wants them to do. And it's pretty exciting, man, because it starts to stir in me some stuff along the way. So let's take a break. And on the other side, Patrick Mathers will be joining us. Stay tuned again. Realty Universal Radio on the air. Everywhere.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
How do I get off of the I think I'll do it to the do it stage? You see, many people, their life is something like this. Ready, aim, 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 aim. They never fire. They never shoot. They never execute. Now, let me just also say there are some people that's like ready, fire, aim. And, you know, they don't execute either. They just shoot somebody accidentally. Execute means that there's a ready, preparation, aim, get your target, but then you shoot. The greatest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members and affiliates who can customize your process the way it will work best for you. We do advise that you coordinate with your accountant and real estate attorney so your plan is intact. We have all learned through this economy that planning and averting pitfalls can make a world of difference in our futures. Ultimately, you have to rely on you after consulting with the experts. We set you up to win.
Yeah, buddy. Again, Realty Universal Radio on the air everywhere. And as I said, we used to say that in what I call terrestrial radio, old school radio, and it wasn't really true because you were on the air only where your signal could reach. But nowadays with online blog talk radio and whatnot, literally on the air everywhere. And I'm anxious to get to our guest the second half because he's kind of pushing some buttons, I think, in my spirit. I've been thinking about it just this week, as a matter of fact. What's really important? What really matters in life? And online, we can get all caught up in all kinds of stuff, and we get caught up in the with our culture and the American Idol, pursuing my dream, and I'm after my dream, and you know, all that stuff. But I sometimes wonder, what about God's dream for us? You know, and sometimes we can get really navel gazing, and so I love that Patrick Mathers is joining us. In fact, he's with us now, and he is a pastor of a church, and I love this name, Sovereign Joy Christian Fellowship in Chico, I'm going to let him kind of share how he came to now being preparing to go to Scotland to serve the poor, and there's you're going to be challenged, I'm sure. But Patrick, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Randy. I appreciate it.
Welcome.
Yeah, Natalie's with us. Natalie is on the line over there, and she's suffering for Jesus in Hawaii, which, you know, they need the Lord too. So.
Right, yes,
absolutely.
Yes, people need him everywhere. Well, yeah, a little bit about myself. Like you said, I pastor a church currently here in Chico, California, Sovereign Joy Christian Fellowship. And last year in August, I read an article by a pastor in Midri, which is a scheme in Edinburgh, and I'll describe a scheme in a minute, in Scotland. And he was basically asking why American church planters in Scotland are needed. And so I read that, and I was challenged, just like you were just saying, how you're being challenged here, Randy. And I thought, you know what, I can't respond to his questions. I don't have an answer for why I can't get up and go over there and be a church planter in Scotland. And the reason is because in Scotland they have these housing projects. They're called the schemes. The closest thing we have to them here in the States is housing projects, or a mix between a housing project, trailer park, Indian reservation kind of thing. So in the early part of the last century, they wanted to spruce up the downtowns of the major cities in the UK. That was called regentrifying. And so they moved the poor, the lower class people from the city centers out into what we would call the suburbs, and set them up on these council estates, these housing projects, the schemes. And they've, over the years, provided everything for them, money, health care, everything that they need to live. But the church has neglected these communities in the UK. And so you have entire communities. Some of them have thousands of people living in them, tens of thousands in a few of them, and a lot of them, more than 50% of them, have no church presence at all, none, absolutely zero. So our goal is to go over there, plant a church in a scheme, train up Scottish men and women there in the scheme, and then turn the church over to them, and then move on and do it again. And that's how we would like to see the poor communities in Scotland changed for the better.
And it's called Scheme, S-C-H-E-M-E?
Yeah, S-C-H-E-M-E. We have a real negative connotation here in America. It seems like
right.
But not so over there. Over there, it just, when you would mention a scheme, they would immediately know housing project.
Yeah, that's good.
And there's a website, 20schemes.com, right? 20, S-C-H-E-M-E-S.com, which kind of lays out, I guess, what they're up to over there, right?
Exactly. That's the organization that I am a part of right now. I'm on staff as a missionary with 20 Schemes, as well as pastoring the church here right now. And they've identified 20 of the most spiritually impoverished schemes. Now, they aren't all the most economically poor schemes. Some of them are, but they've identified these 20 schemes where they would like to go in and see churches established, and see those communities changed, and then do it again. the whole goal is to actually work themselves out of a ministry so that in a generation, 20 schemes is no longer necessary. So, you know, my goal in going over there, to move over there for the rest of my life, would be that, you know, when the Lord calls me home, that I'm no, this ministry is no longer needed. That, you know,
wow.
Now Scottish guys are sending out Scottish guys to do the work of evangelism and seeing the culture change through the gospel.
Wonderful. Wow.
Patrick Mathers is with us, and again, talking about literally having the Lord speak to him after reading a blog, and I guess you actually went on a vision trip, right? So you went and checked it out,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, when we went over there in September of last year, actually it was, they all came together so quick, and I had to, in order to raise the money to get, for us to be able to get over there, sell all of my guns, which over there they don't have guns, so they loved that. I was willing to give them all up and sell them so that I could raise the money to get over there. But
wow.
So we did that, went over there, flew. We spent a week in Scotland. We went to the cities of Edinburgh, Glasgow, and Dundee, and visited several of the schemes. The home church where all of this was birthed out of is in a scheme called Nidre, N-I-D-D-R-E, in Edinburgh. And they had had a physical building there that everyone for generations had called the mission. But they really, there wasn't anything really going on there until the fellow who started this organization, Nez McConnell, came in and started a church in there, and he just really lived in the community, met with the people where they were at, went and did the things that they did, and so when we were over there, we got a real taste of that kind of life. So we didn't, I mean, we saw a castle on one day, but that wasn't our goal. It was really to go around and see the parts of the society there that you just wouldn't see if you were a tourist. In fact,
wow.
They would direct you out of the schemes. When we were there, there was several people who would come to the house where we were staying and want to say, hey, can we meet the Americans? Because they had never met an American. And we would go and meet with people. I would talk with people. And they would love it because they felt like they were in a Hollywood movie, they said, because of my Californian accent. But what that did is it gave me an in, and people would just ask me questions because of where I'm from and who I am. And so I was able to talk with people freely wherever I was at. One story, there was some kids who I'd spoken to, just called them over, said, hey, come over here. And they came over and heard I was American and loved that, even though I look Irish, but I sounded American, and so we got to talking. And lo and behold, some of these kids, even though they're in a scheme where a church is right now, didn't even know that Jesus was a person. Had
wow.
no idea. They just knew Jesus Christ as a cuss word. And that shocked me. It was that moment where I knew we have to do this. If there's kids
right
here, and
right.
we're standing literally in front of a church building who didn't even know he was a person, we have to come over and help out and do what we can do. The reason for that is church is really cultural over there. So you're identified as a Catholic or a Protestant, basically depending upon where you grew up and then what your family is and what soccer team you root for. And so church is not, by and large, something that is a spiritual reality, but it's very much a cultural just identifying point. So that's
yeah.
what we want to change.
Wow, Patrick. And so you answered my question. My next question was there a point where you just went kind of a Damascus Road deal, and it sounds like you talking to those boys was the moment that the Lord went, this is it, right? Until then, you were
absolutely.
You were still kind of wondering.
Absolutely. And that was in Edinburgh. And when we went to Glasgow and Dundee, we saw the same thing. There was a couple of guys, their names are both Pete, so we called them the Petes. And they're working in Glasgow with a group of kids. They've started an after-school program, and they have hundreds of kids now coming to this after-school program, and they're doing this kind of work in the scheme in Glasgow. In Dundee, we saw a similar thing where there was programs going on for the kids, but nothing spiritually there. So they're wanting to establish a church there. In Edinburgh, there was another school that we went to where they had an after-school program for sports, and they called it Switch, and they were teaching kids after school things like basketball, soccer, those kind of things. And what they were seeing is these kids, after they were finished their program, had nowhere to go for their spiritual, for to hear the gospel, for their spiritual needs to be met. They were going back into the drug lifestyle. They were going back into getting involved in the gangs, getting back into involved in really all of the sins that come with, you know, basically the government providing for all of your needs. You know, people sin, and so they would go out and find things to do that, idle hands, you know, finding work for them to do, as it were. So everywhere we went on this trip, we saw the need, and you can go online on YouTube, and there's actually a TV show that was made called The Schemes, and you can watch an episode or two and really get a picture of what that kind of life is like there in Scotland, and we just want to go help out and do what we can do there.
Well, I noticed on the website there's a vision trip coming up in, September 27th, 2014, this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody's
yeah, you can go on the 20 Schemes website, and it is $500 for a vision trip, but it's absolutely worth it. Every single penny of it is worth it. And if you get over there and you see what's going on there, and you know what, even if you don't end up sensing God calling you to Scotland, you will sense a call for God doing something in you somewhere. Maybe it's
yeah.
right where you're at. Maybe it's
yeah.
right in your own hometown, which, hey, Jesus has people everywhere, doesn't he? He needs Jesus everywhere. And so maybe it's to come back here or to go somewhere else. And,
right.
But Scotland is where God is calling us to. And there is this vision trip coming up. And then there are also short-term mission trips and internships. If, you know, young people are just out of college or looking for direction in the ministry, there's actually a group of college-age kids who are over there right now ministering as interns. So it's something to look into perhaps for next year. And maybe a vision
wow.
trip would kind of clinch that in your heart that this is something you're supposed to go and do.
That is wonderful. I mean, and your family, you are all going to be there in January, right? You're going to go ahead and move and...
Yeah, Lord willing, January is our goal. It is all dependent on raising support. And so it's a substantial amount that we need to raise. We need to raise somewhere in the neighborhood of $90,000 of pledged support. And the reason is because the pound is just killing the dollar. And
right.
To go over there with that kind of American money means we'd be making about in the neighborhood of $40,000. So it's, you know, we would be able to move into a team and rent a house, get perhaps a car, maybe even not, with that kind of money.
Now, for anyone that's listening, we have a lot of archive listeners, too. Where would they go to donate? Would they go to your site in Chico? Or would they go to 20 Schemes? Can you let us know?
Yeah, there's several ways. We have our personal website where we're doing about weekly updates about our missions trip. And there is a tab on the top of that page that is a support tab. And the website is schemeministry chemistminist.blogspot.com. That's chemistry.blogspot.com. So you can go there and read about us and support us from there. You can go to the 20 Schemes website and support us there. If you do on that website, you need to put in the comment section our name so that they know that that money is going towards our family specifically. Or you can send a check to 20 Schemes and note that it's for us, the Mathers, at
M-A-T-H-E-R-S, right? Just
yeah,
to make sure
M-A-T-H-E-R-S. Okay. And that's 5010 Penn Baker Avenue, P-E-N-N-E-B-A-K-E-R Avenue, Bardstown, Kentucky, 400-04. And those are the best ways to get a hold of me. I'm also on Facebook. If anybody's interested, Patrick Mathers on Facebook, you can friend me and message me, and I would love to talk to you about our ministry there. You can contact us on our Blogspot page. There's all these different ways where you can get a hold of us, and we can go from there. Yeah, if you go on our site, you'll see our whole family there, all five girls.
Wow.
I was just, we've been married for 18 years. We have five girls, and we're all going over there, Lord willing. Yeah.
Now, I notice, you know, what are the ages? Like, what's the oldest, what's the age range? Because I'm noticing there's, looks like a few teenagers.
Exactly, yeah. In fact, by the time we get there, I'll have four teenagers.
Wow.
I have an 8-year-old, a 12-year-old, 14-year-old, 15, and 17. So, and they're all girls. And
wow.
God just, in his providence, gave us girls. And I love it. I love being a girly dad.
It's a great picture, by the way, on the website. You click on the About Us tab on the schemeministry.blogspot.com, and there's a great picture of the family there, because I was just thinking about that. And I mean, here's a slice of real life, man. I mean, so they're all going, right? Now, these are teenage girls whose lives are going to change pretty dramatically.
Yeah.
And talk about that for a minute. That had to be was that something they had to be kind of persuaded on, or did the Lord kind of zap all of you guys at once, or how has that gone?
Yeah, well, when we first mentioned it to them, they were all surprised. Everybody had questions. Not really much pushback. My oldest one, if she actually gets into college here, she might actually end up staying for a while, or she might actually go with us. But she would be willing to go, but, you know, college here. The rest of them are all really excited about going. I mean, they've told all of their friends. Everybody knows what we're doing. We're praying about it regularly. And they're excited about just starting a whole new life in the UK. I mean, it will be a huge change for all of us. I mean, we're not moving into the nicest community. You know, we're deliberately moving into the poorest communities, and we're going to have to deal with things that come along with those communities. But, you know, God is faithful, and he's called us to this, and my kids know that. And they are they're excited. I mean, just honestly, they're excited about it. And they've already tried to get a Scottish accent and are using it around the house and, you know, making friends on Facebook overseas already and that kind of thing.
Do most of these communities have internet? Is the government supplying internet for in these communities?
Yeah, well, to be perfectly honest, I don't know if the government is the one who supplies that or if it's a private company that supplies the internet. But I do know they all are on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and over there. It's just as big as it is here.
That's fantastic.
If not more so.
That's great, because the education can – that's fantastic. So, yeah, just a question.
Yeah, and a big change will be them going to school. I mean, we've homeschooled them here. But Lord willing, once we get over there, because we're moving into the community and we want to be as much a part of the Scottish community as we can, they're going to end up going to school. And that means, you know, I'll end up doing and going to places where the people go and live there in the schemes. It's interesting. We can't really start the church in our house there. They typically see that as being cultic. And so we have to be real creative and come up with other ways to reach the community, mostly by going out into the community and doing community programs and events and meeting in a place that people already associate with something Christian. So whether it was a church that's now been converted into a coffee house or a pub even or something, but some place where people would associate, yeah, this is something that was Christian. We'd move, you know, go in there and try to meet there, and that's where we would, you know, begin plant. So it's different than the way we would start a church typically here in America. And it's actually, at least in some senses, a going to be more difficult plowing because just they have not had that gospel influence for decades, and in some schools for a century. And so it's going to be a lot of plowing and just being genuine and being real and loving the people, being the best neighbors we can possibly be, and, being a part of the community. And then seeing the Lord change the community as we just live as Christians and share the gospel as we live. So that's our goal and our hope.
Wow, Patrick, I saw I posted on our Facebook page this morning because I love C.S. Lewis quotes, man, and I get on Pinterest and I see I saw one this morning that says, "Don't shine so others can see you. Shine so that through you others can see Him."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that therein lies the rub, so to speak, with our American Christianity, right? It's become so personality driven that it's really hard to find this line of shining so people see Jesus. And what you're describing in a very exciting way is an opportunity for you guys to do just that, to love people right where they're at, be, you know, let them see Jesus in you, and literally because they've not been affected by other kind of gospel presentations, man, you guys literally could be the, as they say, the only Bible some of these folks read, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, really, that C.S. Lewis quote just echoes the words of Paul when he says in 1 Corinthians 10, "So whatever you do," and then what he adds, "whatever you, even if you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God." And the whole context there is evangelism. And so even the simplest, most mundane things like eating your breakfast in the morning, or drinking a cup of coffee at the local coffee shop, we can do all for the glory of God. And we want to be about the business of glorifying God in everything that we do, because God is the one who's going to save people, not me. You know, it's not the government, it's not me, it's not even the church that I go and plant. It's Jesus Christ for His glory. And so we always want to be pointing people back to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, amen. That quote is absolutely appropriate for what we're trying to do. And really for everyone, even everyone who's listening, wherever we're at in our lives, we want to be about the business of giving God all of the glory, no matter what we do in our lives.
Brother, we have, I knew this would fly by. We are out of time. But again, schemeministry.blogspot.com. Just get on Facebook, Patrick Mathers as well, and you can find out how to support them and stay in touch with the Mathers. And real briefly, give us a kind of the 20 seconds or so, but these folks, you've got an event coming up, what, next week, a fundraiser for people who are listening locally?
That's right. Here in Chico, we have a fundraiser coming up. It's a dinner. It's a Scottish dinner on Thursday night, the 14th of July. And it will be at the Seventh-day Adventist Church in the gymnasium. Tickets for adults are $20, and for children it's $15. And awesome. We have all kinds of things going on there. The food will be Scottish food. There'll be Scottish events. We have the American director of 20 Schemes, who is from Aberdeen in Scotland. He'll be speaking at the event, and it'll be a night of all things Scottish, hopefully. So we would love to have anybody who's local here in Chico come on out, and if nothing else, just hear about the work that God's doing in the schemes of Scotland.
Awesome, buddy.
Thank you so much, man.
Wonderful. You've inspired us, and
we'll
have to get you back on and keep everybody up to date on what's going on as you get closer. And then, thanks, brother.
Randy and Natalie, thank you so much for
having
me on.
It's been all wonderful.
I really appreciate it.
And we'll be in touch. To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.